CBHDD is reminding people that the Georgia Crisis and Access Line can help those worried about opioid and stimulant misuse. The toll-free number is online and is active 24/7. More information at opioidresponse.info.
Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, Governor Brian Kemp signs a human trafficking bill, the latest in a flurry of bill signings. The CDC is partnering with the National Weather Service to help address heat-related injuries. And a Georgia magnet fisher uncovers new evidence in a 9-year-old murder case. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. Governor Brian Kemp is signing bills into law at a rapid pace as a May 7th deadline approaches for him to either sign or veto bills or allow them to become law without his signature. Today, he signed a bill cracking down on property squatting and 4 bills aimed at getting military veterans into jobs. He also signed a bill today to vacate the sentences of human trafficking victims in Georgia. House Bill 1201 passed both chambers with overwhelming bipartisan support. First Lady Marty Kemp attended the signing. She says it will help victims recover after being trafficked.
It makes a huge difference because these victims were made to do things that, you know, that was against their will, whether they were doing drugs or, you know, human trafficking in itself. And so it helps them get a new start by cleaning their record.
First Lady Kemp has been active in efforts to combat sex trafficking in Georgia. The bill goes into effect immediately. Yesterday, Governor Kemp signed a bill doubling how much paid time off state employees can take to care for a newborn, as well as 6 education-related bills. On Monday, he signed a bill aimed at limiting labor unions. A federal judge has blocked an attempt by the Republican Party in North Georgia's Catoosa County to remove 4 candidates from the ballot in the May 21st primary. But the order yesterday by U.S. District Judge Billy Ray doesn't resolve an underlying lawsuit over who is Republican enough to appear on the ballot. The county party, represented by attorney Alex Johnson, says the First Amendment's right to assemble protects the GOP from being harmed by non-Republicans who run in the party's primary.
The actions of these candidates is what determines whether or not they actually are Republican or not. I mean, if the candidates are going out and supporting development that the community doesn't want, if they're trying to restrict property rights, if they're endorsing Democrats, I mean, if they're doing those things, they've chosen not to be Republican.
Businessman Stephen Henry is one of the 4 local candidates the party wants to disqualify. He likens its 16 officers to a, quote, 1920s mob.
Catoosa adopted this rule that they get to vet the candidates, which I think is a terrible idea because that truly means not only are they vetting the candidates, but then now you've got 16 people controlling the government because if they vet you, you better make them happier. They're not going to pick you again. I see that it's the choice of the voters to decide who's Republican enough.
The judge's order says the law doesn't allow changing ballots so close to an election, but the case will proceed, as will a separate lawsuit in state court over the same issue. Authorities say someone fishing with a magnet in a Georgia creek pulled up new evidence in a 9-year-old murder case. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation says a person magnet fishing in Horse Creek in South Georgia's Telfair County turned up a .22-caliber rifle and a bag containing driver's licenses and credit cards that belonged to Bud and June Runyon. The agency says the couple was found fatally shot in January 2015. Authorities say the couple from Marietta, north of Atlanta, made the 3-hour drive to Telfair County to meet someone offering to sell Bud Runyon a 1966 Mustang. Investigators quickly arrested a man they say robbed the couple after promising to sell them the classic car that he didn't have. The suspect, Ronnie Adrian J. Towns, is still awaiting trial. Last year was the hottest on record, and climate scientists say temperatures this year could top that. Dealing with all of this on the front line are healthcare providers. So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the National Weather Service are pushing out tools released this week to help limit heat-related injuries. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
The CDC's heat risk tools include a 7-day risk forecast localized by zip code and new clinical resources with guidance for children, pregnant people, and those on medication or who are chronically ill. Janet Terry is with East Georgia Healthcare Center, based in Swainsboro. She says their mobile clinics reach thousands of farm workers every season, visiting fields on the hottest days. Now, workers can get an early warning about dangerous conditions.
Sadly, I mean, as people in our community, they die for heat, strokes, or stuff like that. So it's really important so they know what they need to be doing or what they can prevent this.
What's missing, says Terry, are state-mandated water or rest breaks. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
If you like hearing the news from around the state here on Georgia Today, you'll probably like hearing how Georgia's agriculture economy feeds the country and the world on A Fork in the Road. I'm David Zelsky, and on the Fork in the Road podcast, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Find it online at gpb.org/podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform.
Several crew members were injured when a car and truck collided on the Georgia set of the Eddie Murphy film, The Pickup. Amazon MGM Studios says the accident happened Saturday and all safety precautions were taken beforehand. A person close to the production but not authorized to speak publicly told the Associated Press that the injuries ranged from bruises to broken bones. Two people were taken to the hospital and one remained hospitalized Tuesday. All are expected to make a full recovery. Neither Murphy nor any of the other stars of the action comedy were on the set at the time of the accident. In business news, Atlanta-based Norfolk Southern CEO Alan Shaw says the company is promoting safety at the core of its efforts to grow. His comments came during this morning's earnings call, in which the company confirmed earning 23 cents per share, or $53 million in the first quarter. The railroad said it would have made more than 10 times that amount per share were it not for some one-time costs and a $600 million settlement over the disastrous derailment in Ohio early last year. Shaw says he hopes to close the profit margin gap with other major railroads over the next couple years. The Savannah College of Art and Design has named former Disney Imagineering president Bob Weiss as an executive in residence. The college yesterday described his role as an advisor to its School of Animation and Motion, Creative Technology, Building Arts, and Design. Weiss spent four decades at Disney, leading its Imagineering department for 6 years, ending in 2022. UPS reported first quarter profit yesterday of $1.1 billion. The Atlanta-based company said it had a profit of $1.30 per share. Adjusted earnings per share were slightly higher. Overall, the results exceeded Wall Street expectations. UPS expects full-year revenue between $92 and $94 billion. Aspiring pilots in Georgia will have the chance to connect with prospective employers this weekend at a job fair. Recruiters and pilots from regional airlines, private and business aviation carriers, government agencies, and industry organizations will be on hand Friday at the Westin Peachtree Plaza in Atlanta beginning at 8 a.m. The pilot job fair is free. Coca-Cola has announced a billion-dollar partnership with Microsoft. The Atlanta-based beverage giant said yesterday it's committing to a 5-year deal that makes Microsoft the company's preferred strategic cloud and artificial intelligence platform. Among other pledges, the companies have agreed to joint experiments in new technologies to improve business functions, including marketing, manufacturing, and logistics. And finally, Augusta's Bell Auditorium expects to open on schedule at the end of May. The performance venue has been closed for renovation since last year. Project manager H.B. Brantley says right now the HVAC system is being tested, inspectors are checking the elevators out, and painters are wrapping up their work. Furniture, fixtures, and equipment will start being moved in the first week of May. Brantley says the $17.5 million project is on budget. Tickets for the first show, a performance of pianist Ben Folds on May 31st, are currently on sale. A couple dozen high schoolers from rural counties in southeast Georgia are getting a glimpse into the demanding world of med school. As GPB's Benjamin Payne reports, the Mercer University School of Medicine held a workshop for aspiring doctors at its Savannah campus this week as the institution tries to help fix Georgia's physician shortage.
A gaggle of teenagers are staring down a medical mannequin as its lifeless body undergoes a tricky procedure, intubation. Laryngoscope in hand, instructor Joe Slattery is showing these kids the ropes, or rather, the vocal cords.
Now I'm going to put the blade back in the airway, and I'm going to look for the vocal cords, and I can see them well this time. There they are.
Ninth grader Katie Bolton finds the ventilation technique fascinating.
It was also cool to see how to do it rather than watching it on like a screen or something.
Bolton is already setting her sights on med school, having made the trek to this workshop from Scriven County, about an hour's drive north. It's rural areas like these that doctor and admissions director Jane Kirkpatrick wants to bring into the fold at Mercer.
We only take Georgia residents, and we are doing our best to train up doctors who want to practice in rural and underserved areas because there is such a huge need for physicians in our communities.
That need is dire. About 110 rural Georgia counties are classified by the federal government as medically underserved by primary care providers. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
In sports, the Atlanta Dream have announced that they are officially sold out of season tickets. They are only the second WNBA team this year to sell out season tickets, along with the defending champions, Las Vegas Aces. The Dream made the playoffs for the first time in five seasons last year. Single-game tickets go on sale tomorrow at 8 a.m. In Major League Baseball, the Braves face the Marlins again tonight after shutting them out again last night, 5-0. Starting pitcher Max Fried threw his third career Maddox, a shutout with less than 100 pitches thrown, named after Hall of Famer Greg Maddox. After a tough start earlier this season, he says he owes it to his teammates.
Anytime that you can go out there and give the bullpen a night off, it's huge, especially because a couple starts so far, they've had to pick me up.
Catcher Travis d'Arnaud lost his home run hot streak, but he still looked good. One ground rule double and a sacrifice fly helped put runs on the board. And in college baseball, the Georgia Bulldogs began a game against Clemson on Tuesday evening and did not wrap up until 5.5 hours and 15 innings later, shortly after midnight Wednesday. Each team ran through 10 pitchers before Paul Tate scored on a wild pitch to walk off the Georgia win 4-3. And that's it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, highly recommend it. It'll keep us current in your podcast feed, and you will be current on all the news in Georgia. If you've got feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Email us. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.